This week on the program, get ready to slam an ice cold Pepsi, because on this episode, we're talking, oh man, it's World War Z, isn't it? God damn it. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
World War Siska.
God damn it, you took mine. Chris Cabin Z.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. That's right. This week on the program, we're talking 2013's World War Z, directed by Mark Forster. Now, if you don't know this fella, that's right, Chris Cabin. Check out this fucking filmography. Starting with last year's A Man Called Otto.
Of course.
Oh, my God. Christopher Robin.
Wait, that Man Called Otto, that's a zombie movie, right?
Yes. Tom Hanks' first zombie movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Christopher Robin.
Oi.
Machine Gun Preacher.
Remember that one? Wait, is this, that's Gerard Butler?
Yes, it is.
I'm he's a like, preacher with a machine gun. Do you get it?
I'm praying to my Lord AK-47.
I'm sucking the cock of a gun.
Quantum of Solace.
Oh, yeah.
The Kite Runner. Stranger Than Fiction, the Will Ferrell movie. That was God, what a just
boring God. Filmography.
What, did you throw darts at a wall? What the fuck is this?
Dude, get ready. Backing up even further.
Back to the Future 3?
Finding Neverland.
Okay.
And then the movie he did right before that, his big break.
Oh, yeah.
You guessed it.
Mm-hmm.
Name it, Chris Cavan.
Monsters Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What a fucking filmography.
Not insane. Great.
Oof, not man.
Great.
I mean, Finding Neverland and Monsters Ball, at least. And I mean, like, Finding Neverland.
Two movies about people who abuse children.
Yes, but like, mm-hmm. we're well received and like, us in Oscar-y circles. I don't care.
Neverland is the documentary about Michael J.
Yes.
Michael J. Michael Jackson, not Michael J. Fox.
No. Please. No, that's Johnny Depp as the dude
as
who
Michael
wrote Peter
Jackson?
Pan.
Yes.
No, that's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You got that mixed up.
There we go. That was almost too stupid, but then it turned out to be great. Okay, look at that alley-oop. Right. That was nice.
Here's something dumb for you. Try this on for size.
Yeah?
World War Z, you know, World War Zombie, I guess. So World War I, that's the first one.
Sure. Yeah.
And then there's World War II.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought I had somewhere to go, and I don't.
I got an Eric. I got an Eric joke.
The train
for you.
Tracks are running out.
Here you go. I'll help you out.
Here comes the cliff.
I'm going to be the Judd Apatow to your Gary Shandling
and
write you this joke.
Thank you.
World War Z. Probably should have called it World War ZZZZ because this thing put me to sleep.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, that's good.
Yes, that's a good
the
one.
Good stuff.
Well, I mean,
Larry Sanders would never tell a joke so low.
With movies like this, the end of the world, you have to open your credits with what's on TV?
Wendy Williams is on TV, ladies and gentlemen.
Wendy Williams is on TV. A lot of nature footage is on TV, apparently.
Sure. You know what's weird is just right before Mark Forster, you know, he's on location. You're just about to start shooting this movie. And 28 days later, it was on TV and he just couldn't put it down. You know what I mean? He's like, that's a good movie.
What oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Hell of a movie. This?
What I have to do is the exact opposite of all that. All that stuff needs to be put in the back seat for the front stuff, which is just making a big prestige blockbuster zombie movie.
Here's an amazing thing. So this movie is 2013. This movie theatrically was cowardly rated PG-13.
Oh, fuck off.
And here's the thing. We, at that point, were, of course, firmly in a post-Shaun of the Dead world.
Oh, yeah.
There is an R-rated modern zombie movie that made a fuck ton of money. There's absolutely no excuse for this movie to be rated PG-13 theatrically.
And 28 days later made a shit ton of money, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was, and obviously, like, honestly, I think that fucking The Walking Dead, which obviously this movie wants to cash in on, is much more violent and grit and like
absolutely.
Bloody and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's insane that this movie is so bloodless. It's not a horror movie. It's, and I mean like this is why I didn't see this movie in theaters, is why I didn't want to watch this last night, which is why I still haven't really watched The Last of Us. I've been done with zombies long time.
I remember seeing this when it came out in the theater. I haven't seen it since. But when I saw it, even when I saw it in the theater, it was begrudgingly because I was tired of zombies then, 10 years ago. Uh-huh. And to your point earlier, 28 days later, it borrows so much. This is like the exact same mechanics, right?
Yes.
It's a disease and they're fast.
And they're fast and it's grainy and it's gritty and it's on the ground.
That's the problem with this movie.
Yeah, like, that's true.
But Shaun of the Dead has jokes, legitimate big fucking laughs.
No, it's a comedy.
28 days later.
Also like, hilarious.
Like it's got its moments.
Blood, A. Yeah. What brutal.
Brandon Gleeson. Get the fuck away from me!
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
We're still laughing about that to this day.
Surprise! Birthday party!
Oh, no. isn't Brendan Gleeson say, get the fuck away from me! Isn't that Benches of Inisherin? Or
it's been both movies, actually, brought it back.
But, like, the rougher elements of those, the fact that it does look like that, and, like, the colors are all blown out like that.
Yes, yeah.
All those things add to the what gives it. This is literally just a prestige drama that they fucking threw fucking zombies in.
Yep.
It's Zariana. Zariana.
Zombiana.
But we do get, speaking of zombies, you get some Pierce Morgan right up top and talking about God knows what.
God,
there might be a zombie outbreak.
That's the most horrifying image in the whole movie is fucking Pierce Morgan's ugly maw on my TV.
The only jump scare I got.
Well, here's the thing is I thought, so I saw this movie sort of once before. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, late in the night once years ago, I downloaded like Cam Torrent and fell asleep.
Was it because allegedly. I kept on talking about the ending?
Because the Pepsi machine?
I had to review this. And when I tell you this, when the Pepsi machine thing happens at the end of this, I burst out laughing into a dead silent
Chris,
crowd.
I always remember you talking about that moment to the point of which I was expecting Brad Pitt to be surfing on the thing at the end.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a more integral part.
Just saved humanity. What you need is a good Pepsi.
Are you ready, Pepsi machine?
You got it, Jerry. Let's fight these zombies.
But like,
they all get, the zombies get diabetes and die.
I don't know. I put it on and was kind of like, okay, I'm not hip to the whole like prestige, you know, zombie drama, because like zombie movies are supposed to be grody and disgusting. Mm-hmm. You want to smell them coming off the screen.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Brad Pitt's just so darn handsome in this movie. All I'm smelling is like pleasant cologne.
You know, at the start of this film, when he's in Philadelphia, by the way, I thought the traffic was stopping because someone that looks like Brad Pitt showed up in Philadelphia. Could you imagine?
It's
not the zombies. It's Brad Pitt. Like, what? A guy that looks like that in Philadelphia.
He is especially pretty in this movie.
With the long hair.
The scarf. Yep. The fucking scarf.
The scarf.
Sure. Drives me insane.
Well, that scarf tells you that he's worldly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that they shopped this with M. Night because of this Philadelphia connection or no?
I wondered about that. I also then wondered if they didn't, if M. Night tried to put a cease and desist, like, I'm the only one that makes weird shit in Philly, goddammit.
I mean, the opening is, like, happening.
Yeah, it's very much, it feels like.
Because
it,
it's just, like, things happening, you know, we're going around, like, and then we just open up. Very much like the opening of Dawn of the Dead, the second one, the new one.
I was going to say also very much like the opening of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, where they're talking about indeed a virus that ravaged humanity over the news.
But they're in bed and like the kids come in and like it's like almost like a fake scare, like because you're expecting some zombie stuff. It's like, make us pancakes.
Worse than zombies, I say. That's have to do this instead of just having to fend off a zombie.
And Jerry, it seems, has like retired. Jerry is Brad Pitt's character. Yes.
Jerry Lane, by the way, which is what I imagine they call jaywalking in the UK. You lads jaying the lane?
You're Jerry Laning. What are you doing?
Jerry Lane is also like someone who stars in fuck flicks.
For sure.
Like, probably a female star.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Jerry with a G, by the way. Very important.
You know it is. Probably only one R. Too.
Sometimes I spell Jerry with a G and an I.
But It's like he's retired from war crimes to be a stay-at-home dad. Yeah. Because like even Mariel Enos's wife is like, you remember what that job did to you? It's like, that means he was like fucking sticking things up people's ass and like fucking but waterboarding
it's
and whatever.
The timeline we get, like apparently he was like a military guy for the UN.
Yes.
And there's talking about Sri Lanka in 07 and whatever.
I don't know how much of that is like related to real historical events, sure. But it is weird that this dude who we're told worked for the UN is like a super spy kind of Jason Bourne dude.
This movie puts so much stock in the UN and stock in science and the globe, which has been proven. All this has been proven completely
and
false.
And caring about all, like caring about the fucking UN. Like, is anybody actually paying attention to what's going on in the UN?
Yes, nerds.
Well, sure, yeah. But like, generally, like an audience, I'm just like,
nobody.
Who cares?
That never happens unless like someone comes to address the General Assembly, like Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Then everybody pays attention to what's going on down there.
But the United States has never, to Eric's point, cared about the UN, has never cared about science, has never cared about... Because that's the thing, post-COVID, it's like, you're fucked. I mean, that's the thing.
But the end of this movie, having like, you got every now, okay, everyone, yes, it's a disease, inject yourself with... Uh-huh. I had so many flashbacks to the whole...
Well, it's fascinating, right? Because in the world of World War Z, there wasn't a bunch of fucking assholes running roughshod across all media, spewing disinformation and telling people not to take it. This was like, hey, there be zombies.
Yes.
This protect you from them zombies. Take shot, no die.
All those people are in their apartments or their houses in their rooms and being eaten. Like they're not out there making their opinions or anything like that.
I ain't wearing a mask. Oh yeah, so I'm supposed to shoot a zombie in the head. Got it.
Honey, just look, I told you, don't ask me about my old job. Look, one minute there was a Syrian wedding there, the other time it wasn't, you know? Happens like that. Hole in the ground used to be a wedding.
So the government's telling me I'm supposed to help defeat the zombies. I don't think I like the zombies now. Now that the government said I should destroy them, I like them.
Marjorie Taylor Greene would suck off a zombie. Yeah.
Oh,
she
of
absolutely
course.
Would.
That's part of her CrossFit. fucking jumping on zombie dicks, jerking them off.
What,
and all that.
Is anybody asking how the zombies feel? I mean, I think this is an obvious point that nobody wants to bring up, but we are maybe just as bad as the zombies.
Yeah, that's true. A zombie never wore a dress and tried to read to children, so heaven the fuck forbid.
I think I'm voting zombie for president this year.
And not like an old politician zombie, like an actual undead monster.
Oh, yeah, another vote for me. Oh, amazing. That's fantastic.
I think both tickets are going to have zombies. Just chock full of zombies on each side.
All right, sweetheart, here's your pancakes. You know, I did shoot a little girl, a little younger than you, in the head 3 years ago in a war zone. But, I'll just keep that.
That's what he holds over them when they're, like, misbehaving and whatnot. He's just like, I don't want pancakes. One time I shot a little girl right in the face. She looked just like you. And you know what? I bet she wishes she was alive to eat pancakes right now.
The daughter of a certain drug trafficker who was sort of begging for her life might have had an issue like this.
Her daddy was passing out leftist leaflets. Kaboom! Bye-bye, daddy! Bye-bye!
Did you see the end of Sicario? Kind of like that. Kind of what he did to that nice house is what I would do to this place.
But dude, this fucking commute where they're in the suburbs, driving into the mainstream fucking Philadelphia, midtown Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Especially on the morning of a zombie apocalypse outbreak.
It's a tough one.
Oh my God, the fucking gridlock.
Well, use the bus. What's wrong with the bus?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this a problem here?
What is Mariel Enos' character supposed to do for a living? Do we get that at all?
She's Brad Pitt's wife. That is her job.
It's her job.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you can tell that she's a lady. She's got a bow in her hair. She's got nothing to do in this movie. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Path for her character, which is insane, that may or may not have been filmed.
I remember that.
Yeah, so when we get there.
So they leave the house for reasons. I don't know. And they're driving down the street and it's like, oh, traffic jam, got all cars and a beach got set. Oh, wait, turn down the Dave Matthews. What's happening? Oh my God, zombies. And it's like a dump truck. Well, a cop car flies by and breaks off his side mirror and he gets out of car to be like, hey, what's going on out here? Because I'm a scientist or something.
Well, he is so lo-fi this entire movie. Like, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about Brad Pitt is, like, when he gets a character that he can actually, like, kind of sink his teeth into, you can see it happen. But when it's like, hey, Brad Pitt, just be in a regular movie, he's like, got it. But oh, no, zombies.
Nice guy, not good for him.
No.
That is what is fascinating.
A nice guy is also not good for him in real life either, yes, also. If you believe it.
Yeah, true. Here's the thing, though. Nice guy. Oh, here's the thing. That's crazy.
Sure.
Because he and his production company, Plan B, fought like snakes to fucking option this. They were fighting against Leo DiCaprio's production company. Ooh. They put all this money into licensing the fucking book, like $1 million advance for this fucking thing.
Ridiculous.
And then, like, he gets there and it's like, you know, I guess it's like, well, part of the deal is like Brad stars in the movie if we can license it.
Apparently they used nothing from the book. Is that right? Now, the book was written by, it's Mel Brooks's son. I believe that's his full name.
Yes.
And, Max Mel Brooks's son, Brooks.
Right. And so they're just licensing it for the title?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
I guess it's a good title.
It was a huge book.
It's the Weinstein playbook. If it sounds like something that a fucking teenager will buy a ticket for, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the production stuff, there was a script that was close enough to the, because the book itself doesn't really have a narrative. It's more like interviews about the actual, what would happen in the zombie apocalypse and like stories told in that vein. And this was like, oh, at first it was like, hey, we'll have a character that actually does the interviews. And it's like, well, what if the character doesn't do the interviews? What if this happens? What if it's exactly World War Z and it's only in time? You know what I mean?
Like, what if we just made it like Zero Dark 30 or something?
Maybe. What if it's kind of about globalism?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know really what the, like.
No,
I
this guess, movie isn't saying anything. Don't even try to
fact that. Well, of course, it's not saying anything. I think it might have a pretense that it's trying to.
Oh, I don't think so.
But I think, because I think they always say, Mark Forster especially loves saying that shit.
There is some interesting political things that we'll get into.
It's bad, but I mean, it's funny because he does, there's a delivery guy and he's like, oh, because I connect with the people on below me. Yeah. Hey, man. What's going on? What's going on down there?
Karen, I've been in lots of war zones. Watch how I talk to this guy. Hey, dude. I want to say dude to these people, okay? Just,
it eases them.
It's a colloquial greeting from this area. We're going to be fine.
Now, don't move your hands a lot. You'll get scared.
Wait, we're in downtown Philly. I got to hang on. He's like, hey, dude, what's with that John down there?
And do you think the Sixers have it this year? You know what I did there, sweetheart?
Now, the answer's always no, but you say that to placate them.
Okay, he's a little nervous. I'm going to try to climb the lamppost so he sees that I'm much like his fans. Eagles fan, yes. See, I do the same thing, yes.
Climbed to the top of that lamppost and took a shit back down to the ground.
They're accepting us into the tribe. No. Honey, drink the Yingling. They're going to find it offensive if you don't drink the Yingling.
Honey, we're steps away from being welcomed into Eagles Nation, and they're going to tell us what's going on with those zombies.
No, I know it's on actual black and tan. Just drink it.
Cheese Whiz is kind of disgusting, but you're just going to have to eat this sandwich.
Eat the fucking sandwich.
I do love, he's like, I don't know, man. And he goes back in his car. I was like, well, that was weird. And then, like, this cop is like, hey, stay in here. And he gets fucking clipped so hard.
It's so awesome.
It's the best death of the movie. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And the only reason they allow it is because there's no splatter and it's clearly a cartoon character getting hit by that garbage truck. But like, there's all these. The Department of Sanitation was just kind of like, you know what? They're going to make us clean up all these zombie bodies. Yeah. Fuck this. Out of the way.
Talk to my rep.
Totally. This garbage truck that just rams everyone. And Brad Pitt has the smart idea. We'll just follow the garbage truck.
That's right. You know, you get, you got a good dude who's pushing dudes out of the way and you're holding the football, man. You just follow the path.
Ambulance chasing. You can do it for other kinds of big cars.
Absolutely.
And funnily enough, in the trivia for this, Andrew and I discovered there's movie cliche number 25.
What? Dude,
is this cinema sense?
I'll pull it up, Steve. You set up what's going on.
But look, like, there's just a bunch of like, movie cliche, the zombies shouldn't do this or that. That's like some guy having fun on IMDb trivia. Well, the movie cliche they missed is the fucking little girl with the asthma. Anytime someone has asthma in a movie or insulin, it's like, oh no, how are we going to do the thing because of the asthma? Immediately, she doesn't have her asthma puffer, and it's like a big fucking problem.
Their life automatically becomes more important.
Hollywood cliche number 27. Humans who will become zombies can never visit a dentist.
What?
I
don't know.
Is that in the movie?
Well, no, I think that some of the zombie teeth are messed up because it makes them look
Okay.
But one of those was the fucking girl with the inhaler?
No, it's not.
I got a couple more here. Hollywood cliche number 25. Zombies have remarkable muscle tone, yet poor muscle control.
Food
for thought.
Boy, this is a list of things I care
about. Let's do a few more.
There's only one more. This is the final one.
At 11 minutes and 51 seconds, Hollywood cliche number 23. The engine was working just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, because the car stopped.
Like, if you're out there and you wrote that, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
you ruined my day, dude. You literally.
Totally. Like, the trivia section is for trivia.
It's sacred.
Not it for is. Your fucking grudges, dude.
Cliche number 53. The airline hostess doesn't even check the elevator on the airplane before pushing the button. It happens all the time, folks.
It's just these people that submit things to the Internet Movie Database really steam my clams.
You're just photocopying executive decisions. Good job.
So we're watching Brad Pitt because he's a super genius guy that's tortured enough people that I guess when you torture enough people, you take their knowledge, kind of like actually, how Native Americans believe the Wendigo does that. You know, when you eat somebody, you take their...
Or what I firmly believe happens when one human being consumes the flesh of another.
Mm, okay.
Right. You know, take their essence.
You're just taking ravenous as gospel now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. It is gospel.
It's better than church.
he's a genius, so he sees some guy fall to the ground. He's like, well, you know what? I'm going to start counting to see how long it takes for this guy to get up. 12 seconds. Honey, that's how long it takes for a zombie to become a zombie. Yeah. It's 12. I figured it out. It's 12 seconds.
And there's a way to do this where it's like, here's a guy who is like piecing together what is happening. But like, when you introduce that character, I need to be told that this guy is like a virologist.
Yes, exactly.
He's like Sherlock. Like, if he can do shit like that, Sherlock shit. That's just like, in the middle of this panic situation, I could slow everything down and remember that it's 12 seconds exactly. I also remember the shirt my daughter is wearing, the building across the street, and the man hanging out of it.
So they're driving. They're like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. We have to. They have to switch to the RV.
Because you know why they got to switch to the RV?
Because
they get in a car accident. Do you know why they get in the car accident? Because their fucking kid, this rotten little girl, is like sitting on the floor of the car. And the both of them, these idiotic parents, are both turned like, honey, you got to put your buckle on, honey. And I was like, I think Brad Pitt should be watching the boom, boom. But they get fucked up because of this stupid little girl.
Yeah. Well, they should have just took her like a football and threw it into the zombie horde and ran.
You know what? Dead weight, dude. Yeah. She's fucking catatonic for the rest of the movie anyway. Chow down, boys.
They then find an luckily placed RV that they get into.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. A battle van that has like all these guns in it and shit.
Yeah.
Which is convenient.
Yeah, it's nice.
And wouldn't you know it? To Steve's point here, movie cliche, it's like, we have to stop off because she lost her puffer.
What's also funny about this, too, is by then he's already had this phone call with the guy at the UN whose name's Terry.
And this is Jerry calling Terry. Screenplay, you can't do it.
You got to be nice to the UN or Terry's going to send Jerry over here and he's going to torture everyone.
Like, you'd much rather be talking to Terry on the phone than dealing with Jerry in real life.
I forget. I think it's one of them that actually tries to say Thierry.
Thierry.
It's the French spelling, like Thierry Henry, Thierry.
So I think they were just getting confused, too.
Terry A, they talked to him on the phone and he's like, yeah, okay, you're on I-95 or whatever. Okay, yeah, you're getting near Newark. We're going to send a helicopter. We'll be there in 90 minutes. Yeah, okay. I think I'll just go now, go grocery shopping.
because
the helicopter
of the puffer.
Is coming.
I would also like, because you're the most special torturer we have. We need you right now. Yeah, right. It'd be great if when he gets there, like, listen, fuck this up. We have a couple of political assassinations we need you to come out of retirement for. Like, the time is right.
It. It's go time.
Frame the zombies. You're going to take this zombie. You're going to throw it at the Archduke or whatever.
The Archduke.
Well, that, so because Tyrion tells him that they're at this supermarket. Tyrion tells them, we're not going to be able to get a helicopter out to you until tomorrow morning. That's the earliest I can get it to you.
Yes.
He just says, okay, apartment 23 something. And he's like, okay, yeah, we'll find that. Don't worry.
We got that.
Just, you're going to put a flare up? No, that's all you need to do.
Just, and it's not their apartment. It's a random apartment in Newark.
Yeah, just a random one next to this supermarket. And like the supermarket scene, there's a plenty of food left. Like, that's what's so funny about it is like, she's just like, she doesn't have to search for anything. She's like, okay, here, corn.
She's reading labels. Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, I know it's a zombie apocalypse, but are you cool with low sodium Progresso or what?
Do you think that maybe the UN complex we're going to might have low sodium Progresso already?
All right, these chicken breasts aren't organic, but I think we'll be able to get through it.
I took a number and the butcher's not coming.
I have been waiting for 15 minutes. Where's the butcher?
Is there a manager?
Well, I mean,
the staff's dead tired.
Excellent. That's the thing about, again, this was when I saw the grocery store scene, I was like, this is why I don't watch zombie shit anymore. Because I am, especially after 2020, I am positive that I will die in a grocery store fighting over luxuries that I've taken for granted my entire life.
Yep.
I know that's coming. Yeah. Why do I need to watch that every year? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to watch a fucking show about a guy drowning in student debt. I'm living it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's totally true, man. It's like, I got zombies fucking eating me to death out here. I don't need to watch a fucking movie about it. I mean, that is true, though. And this grocery store scene specifically, because like in those early days at the fucking Pandy, I literally, we're recording here. It's a very rainy day here in New York. I had to stand outside the grocery store in the rain, like the waning days of the Soviet Union. To be let in for, like, there's no way I'd be able to battle somebody over a gallon jug of Poland Spring water. No. You know what I mean?
You're done. You're done.
For. Just the suicide town. Let's fucking do it.
They'll be like, oh, you forgot your acid puffer? That'll make it easier. We're just going to hose going into our car here. We're going to die as a family, sweetheart.
The world would be great.
The world would be handed over to those like 68-year-olds who buy 12 packs of Poland Spring every time they go to the grocery store.
They just add it on.
Yep. You say, you know what? I might as well.
Oh, that's my parents, dude. My family. Oh, my God. You go to my parents' house, if you're thirsty, dude, you'll be able to drink for months. They are never running low on bottled beverages. Absolutely not. Poland Spring, the little tiny water ones.
Yeah,
my
little,
God.
Little ones, I love those.
You go down to my parents' basement, it's like the fucking Ark of the Covenant warehouse, just with Poland Spring little cans.
Hey, Mom, where's the Poland Spring? What is it, Christmas? Drink the Nestle.
Yeah, there's some off-brand bottled water as well. But so they're in the grocery store and everything's going fine except in the pharmacy. Brad Pitt's trying to fucking find some albuterol, puffer canisters there. And some dude comes out and he's got a gun. Yeah. And I'm just like so exhausted already. And it turns out, it's not a bad guy with a gun, you guys. It's a good guy with a gun. Because like, here's this dude. He looks like a fucking gross tweaker. Yeah. And you're like, here it comes. And Brad Pitt, like Jerry himself, is ready to lay the death blow on this guy. And then it's just like, yeah, they grow out of that eventually. My girls did. Yeah. Here's all your albuterol. These vitamins make it easier too. You have a blessed day now. And I was like, no, this guy was ready to chew your throat out.
Which is the big problem with this movie. World War Z.
Yeah.
A lot of world, some Z, almost no war at all. No. Almost absolute. Like the percentages of Z and the percentages of war are way over the world.
Well, Steve, doesn't it just bloom in your imagination since it's all off screen? Don't you just get to believe anything you like?
I love the 13 seconds of Russian war at the end of the movie. That's really exciting.
That was taped together from the originally filmed ending for this movie, which was like the battle for Moscow. Yeah, okay, great. And everybody was like, it's a total no-win scenario because everybody who was like involved in making the movie was like, boy, that's a fucking bummer, because we thought we were really making a human drama or whatever, and now it's an action movie at the end. I don't want it either way.
Exactly. We're going to go back and reshoot, do a huge reshoot, get David Lindelof involved, and have a fucking a human drama ending, which also sucks.
Also, if you're calling World War Z, I want like a general that's a zombie. You know? Guys in uniform.
Don't you fucking dare try to make this fun. Well, you watch yourself there, mister.
All right, those zombies took the beach. We're going to take the beach back, boys. You know, like something like that.
Or you need a really like gaudily adorned, like Muammar Gaddafi kind of general, but it's a zombie.
Here you go. World War Z, you got Brad Pitt. Get Aldo Raine around here. I want my zombie scalps.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That could be something.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, when the hell was Inglourious? When did that come out? Was that before this? No, it was way before this.
2009?
Wow.
Yeah. Something like that.
It's not 2007, but 2009, I think.
So we make it to this fucking, someone steals the RV. Nobody gives a shit. They just steal another car and they get to this apartment building. And we're going through...
Not like in the movie 28 Days Later.
Oh, and we're going through an apartment building with zombies, much like the film Dawn of the Dead 1978. The beginning there. So we're going up the stairs and everything. And of course, it's a disgusting apartment building. Not only are zombies around, it's in Newark, New Jersey, so there's spray paint on all the walls. Scary. Everywhere.
Oh, wait, honey, I'm going to have to speak to these locals. Let me just change. I apologize that the Nets left to Brooklyn. Is it okay if I have some of your beer? You guys drink beer?
We enjoy your local Prudential Center.
That's what you should have had, dude. A bunch of folks gathering at the Rock and whatnot for safety. The little girl like finds this apartment.
Yes.
And
she's like, let us in, let us in.
Sorry, sweetheart, I got my own fucking problems.
Yeah, good luck dying out there.
We're waiting to die inside. Right. You have to die outside.
And this family kindly lets them in. Yes. And it's a thing where like the little boy has to translate for the parents who only speak Spanish.
Tommy is the little boy.
Yes, Tommy. And here's something.
Tommy, can you hear me?
No, just like, again, just with the product placement in this movie. And in this instance, I think either it's like this guy doesn't want to give up the good stuff to Brad Pitt or what's going on here. But the dude is like cerveza and Brad Pitt is like, you know, si, gracias. And the dude just gives him an ice cold sparkling Bud Heavy.
Yeah,
and you're just like, I don't want to be presumptuous here, but there's a lot more delicious options that this fella could be offering guy. That's what I'm saying.
Also, I know traditions die hard. After a workout, like running from zombies, you want a cold beer, but maybe a water. I understand, you know, it's a hard day and all, but, you know, zombies trying to eat you.
That's actually fascinating, right? Because he's chugging Budweiser and Pepsi throughout this movie.
That's how you get that Brad Pitt physique, dude. You just chug both those
and he's just farting the most noxious shit you ever smelled. If that's his whole thing, it's just soda and fucking beer and whatever he's eating.
Also, like, the gorgeous long hair he has. I never see him condition in this film once. Well, and I mean, like, that would be... I don't think that's going to be on the battle boat that he's going on. Like, that would be some greasy, gnarly shit up there.
Once he gets to Terry, they should be like, okay, where's all the conditioner? Where's the last conditioner on the planet?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah.
What do you mean you have Pert Plus? That's not good enough.
Well, that's the one
I need a tactical comb to go to South Korea.
That's what Mariel Enos grabbed at the grocery store. Honey, they don't have Pantene.
You better not be grabbing Pert Plus, woman.
Look for something with tea tree oil. Tea tree oil.
What are herbal essences work?
What did I tell you about the two-in-ones? They don't work. I need separate conditioner.
Yeah, here's some conditioner. It always works for me. Yeah, here's some tea tree oil. Yeah.
Some guy next to you sure you don't want food? There's like, we're running out of food here. I mean,
my husband really loves his hair.
Shit, honey, they only have the bars of Neutrogena, not the pump.
All right, I'll just take the can of beans. I mean, I'll take all the cans of beans if you're not going to have the cans of beans.
Bean dinner for that guy.
Absolutely. So, you know, they rest up here for a little bit. Brad Pitt as Jerry turns on a radio and it's like, the state of New Jersey says you should stay inside now and blah, 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 blah.
Christie is dead, ladies and gentlemen. A nation mourns.
He's become a super zombie.
Oh, dude, they can't.
In a sea of fast-moving zombies, Chris Christie is still a traditional slow-moving zombie.
Can't believe it, but he is actually growing. He is eating the bridge. Can you believe it?
Dude, zombie kaiju movie with Chris Christie as the only zombie? Yeah, I'd probably watch that.
On the radio, something that's never been uttered ever. Minnesota safe zone. I guess they made it out, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, New Jersey's fucked. Sorry, folks. And, like, Jerry wakes up. He's a nightmare. He realizes he looks for his daughter, and he finds her in, like, Tommy's bedroom. He's like, she had a nightmare. I was just being a very nice kid. And it's like, oh, okay, thanks, man.
Yeah, you're cool, dude. Yeah, high five. That's cool. Your parents aren't going to be dead in 20 minutes, are they? Because, like, so it's after he wakes up from that nightmare, it's like, all right, we've rested enough. Let's get up to the roof and wait for the helicopter to come.
First, he uses almost all this guy's duct tape. I mean, like, in a zombie apocalypse, you want to keep your duct tape.
But this guy, this family.
Oh, yeah, can I use some of your duct tape? Sure. All of it.
I think that this guy, though, I mean, they're dead in seconds anyway. It doesn't matter. But, like, this guy, he's kind of like Betty White in Hard Rain. Like, they are refusing to leave that apartment. Yeah. So I think this dude's kind of like, yeah, take it. I'm not going to need it. I'm safe in my Newark, New Jersey apartment.
I don't know, man. He makes a bayonet, which is kind of cool.
That's something.
Yeah, it's a cool idea because he has a rifle from the
truck. You don't really get to see him use it.
He used it once. I mean,
oh, that's great. I think we saw him take longer to fashion it than we saw him use it.
Yeah, he falls down with it, which is exhilarating. But, I mean, yeah, like you would imagine, like, I'm not scared of no zombies. This is New Jersey. I'm going to throw some of our water at him. He's going to melt. This is going to go down to bone.
Honey, what's that smell? Honey, that's just New Jersey. It's okay. That's where
You're
we
okay.
are.
You're okay. You're okay.
Why do I just feel this intense dread about everything? New Jersey. That right there is the New Jersey. That's not the zombies.
But so they make their way up to the roof. The guy's like, you know, thanks, but no thanks.
Immediately that they're here. Besieged by zombies. Like, and I think it's kind of Jerry's fault on the way out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's over there. Hey, it's a nice family in there for you to kill. Why don't you go get them? Leave my family out of it.
Because we get up to the roof and, like, Jerry is holding the door closed where everybody can run out. And then, like, oh, well, now Jerry's going to run. And, like, here comes the zombies. And it's the first one out the door is the dad that refused to leave. And you're like, shit, that was quick.
And the kid, Tommy, comes out before them.
Yes.
It's, like, obvious that it went really south. And, like, he's coming with us. And who should save them? Matthew Fox with 2.5 lines.
For what?
Well, because there's a version of the screenplay, or I think this might have been filmed.
I don't know about that.
In the version wherein it ends in a big war, and an actual World War Z.
The Battle for Moscow.
In the Battle for Moscow version, Miral Enos goes to a different refugee camp that, like, Matthew Fox is kind of running, and she has to, like, sleep with him for favors.
Wow!
She calls, when Jerry finally gets in touch with him, and Matthew Fox is like, hey, man, you better not come back from Moscow. This lady's mine. Okay. Setting up World War Z 2, Matthew Fox v. Brad Pitt.
What
the fuck world would that exist in?
Does anybody remember when The Walking Dead started? Was it like 2010?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it was 10, I think.
Yeah.
But Chris, you were right about Inglourious Bastards being 09.
Yeah.
Oh, 09. Yes. Oh, okay.
2010, Walking Dead.
2010, yeah. And I mean, that show was already doing
all of this.
The people turn evil too. Like, to do a movie about that, like, I'm just glad that has not happened.
Well, I mean, the Matthew Fox thing is literally the Shane and fucking the main character with the wife. Like, that's literally the triangle.
He's like he's a big strong one that's going to take care of everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
Back when that show was pretty good. But yeah, so like,
God, remember that? Oh, that show being good. That was nice.
Ooh. I didn't even recognize Matthew Fox, though.
Yeah.
And that whole part. Yeah, I really didn't. Apparently, it is, if the count on IMDb is to be believed, he's got like 5 lines.
Of course.
That's it.
He gets
great.
They get in the helicopter and then they go to Battle Boat. Because that was too exciting. And now, I mean, literally the rest of the movie is pretty boring. I'm not even kidding.
It's so kind of boring. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
So it's all about, like, tracing the origin. It's very, like, COVID.
Yeah, dude. It was weird watching this. He's trying to find patient zero.
It picked up a little bit with the airplane thing, but that's about it.
They get there like, oh, thank you. My very special political assassin is here. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it was genuine, if it was like a whodunit and like trying to find patient zero and like going insane trying to do that, that would even be more interesting to me.
That is something. I mean, they made it's a kind of a ridiculous movie, but it's way more watchable than this. Outbreak is literally about that.
Yeah.
Right.
It is trying to find the patient zero, and then Dustin Hoffman is like, yeah, the patient zero monkey's on the fence. We gotta kill him.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yes.
Please don't do it.
I also love here how dumb Brad Pitt is, because he's just like, okay, yeah, you brought me here, Terry. Now I'm just gonna live my you're gonna do something. My doing stuff days is behind.
I don't know if you know, I'm retired. It's like, yeah, look around. Everyone is doing something. If you're leading, you could be cleaning, my friend.
Absolutely. Amen. Do you got some data that needs analyzing? I'm right here for you, man. So actually, we want you to go out into the field.
Yes, they want him to take this young doctor, I guess the only one left.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Fosbach.
Fosbach, yes. Dr. Fosbach to South Korea to find patient zero to then a vaccine out of that.
There's a lot of talk here, and I swore I heard the vice president's a zombie.
Well, no.
The president is dead.
The president's dead.
The vice president is missing.
I'm dead. Oh, I'm Barack Obama, and I'm dead.
4 Supreme Court justices have been taken out, and I was like, shit, man, hope it's the right ones.
Oh, no. Gorsuch would still be there.
Oh, he's already a zombie. Oh. That dude will eat flesh.
Ooh. He wasn't appointed yet, though, on the timeline.
That's true. Right? Oh, yeah, that's true.
Although, I don't know when this takes place.
It's a good question.
Some future. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's scary because it's now.
Oh, dude, it could happen any second.
That's right. There's a line here where, like, they see their quarters on the battleship here, and this dude Thierry is like, hey man, you know, your bunks are 6, 8, and 3, and they're all numbered or whatever. And again, man, these fucking privileged fucks.
Yeah.
He's looking around like, is that it? Yeah, fuck it. What the fuck? Is that it? And Mariel Enos turns around and she's like, well, honey, it's bigger than our apartment back on 72nd Street when we were younger. And I was like, that's what you get for living on fucking 72nd Street on either side of the island.
I guess that's why they moved to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Always look on the bright side of your life.
Come on, baby.
We're not dead.
I wish Terry was like, all right, so you've got bunks. Sorry about that. I didn't know you were bringing this extra kid. We can't have him.
Yeah, we got to kill him. Sorry.
Look, just, you know what? Get him up to the deck. Leave him alone. That's all you got to do. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Be like, look at the ocean out there. And then you hope for a strong breeze. AKA my man Bruto over here is going to push him overboard.
We've got some tier one operators here, baby. We can take care of this.
Well, there's this great moment because he leaves. He goes to Mira Linus. Mira Linus has to be, of course, because she has nothing to do with this movie. She has to be like, you can't do that. Oh, no. It's so. Will you remember what you were like back then or whatever horseshit that is?
Yeah. It's just, who could care?
You weren't wearing the scarf. You didn't have as much eyeshadow on.
And he leaves. He says goodbye to Marilyn. He goes to Tommy. He's like, hey, tough guy. You can take care of the girls. You're not horrifically traumatized by the death of your entire family, right?
Yeah, we're friends. You're good.
You're good.
You're a strong little buddy.
Kind of own you now. Just FYI.
Listen, now you're in this family. I'm going to set some rules here. If you're leaning, you could be clean.
No, the kids should be like Marge when they come back to the house and she's shaking and the hair's coming out. Like, that should be about where that kid is right now.
There is a great thing. So we go to like a control room area where there's all these people making calls and analyzing things or what. Yeah. And you have one guy that they keep cutting back to because I guess this was the dude in the room that had a SAG card. And he's like, he's got real dumbass lines like, how the hell do I know if Russia's fallen? Yes. And I'm just like, this keeps getting worse.
Nothing, and I mean fucking nothing, is as stupid as saying Mother Nature is a serial killer.
That's coming up. Yeah, that's right here. That's right here.
Mother Nature's a serial killer. She wears clown makeup. And gets kids to come into her basement.
Mother Nature's Jack the Ripper. She hunts out prostitutes on foggy London nights every week.
Mother she creates the fog.
Mother Nature will wear a cast and ask you to help moving a couch into her van. But don't do it. Don't go into Mother Nature's van.
Mother Nature's such a serial killer. She's actually copying the crimes of other serial killers while she's out there doing her serial killing.
What would Mother Nature need with a van? why would God need a starship?
Exactly. But yeah, that's this because that's it, this doctor is telling Brad Pitt, it's like, we're going to find him because Mother Nature's a serial killer. She wants to be caught. And she's leaving all these clues. And just when you think it's like the virus is too strong, that's probably the biggest clue of them all.
Right. The weakness is in the strength.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The weakness is the weakness.
Got it.
I just, you know what? Because like he says it in the scene. So we are en route to South Korea at this point. We're on the airplane. And he's doing all that, and you're just kind of like, who is this for and why? And then the funny thing is, like, later in the movie, Brad Pitt, like, thinks back to that guy's, like, whole speech, and you're just like, it was dumb the first time, somehow dumber the second time because it's like he's remembering the entire voiceover.
It's like he's doing that, like, I guess, like, because it's a fake out. We're like, oh, this here comes the new character. Nope. Only Brad Pitt can be in this movie. Literally, no one but Brad Pitt is allowed to be in this movie.
Yes, it's weird and bad, but like just randomly killing this guy.
It's pretty funny.
It's funny, yeah.
So they land at the base in South Korea, and it's like, all right, you know, we're going to get out, and everybody's got to be quiet, and our like dudes are going to go out first, and all right, it's raining. Couple guys go out nice and quiet. We're walking across this tarmac, and then it's like, zombie time. And like they try to turn tail. Couple of these SEALs get taken out right here. And then this fucking doctor who Brad Pitt has given a gun.
Yes.
And he has to say shit like, don't stand there with your finger on the trigger. Like, clearly this guy doesn't know how to use a firearm. And the dude goes to run back up the fucking walkway to the plane or whatever, the ramp, and he falls and shoots himself in the head.
It's pretty good.
What an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
And what a total idiot.
James Batch Daly is right there to make fun of him, too, a little bit. Like, yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was like, oh, wait, so that was the guy? That was our big hero right there? Just shot himself in the fucking teeth? Excellent.
James Batch Daly went into his mental closet, got his Iron Man character out. I was like, I'll wear this for today.
Yeah. Absolutely. We meet James Batch Daly and Michael Weissman, who are two of these SEALs here, and they... After that fucking hilarious doctor death, they get, of course, the untouchable Jerry into the base. And we're getting a little bit of the history here. And like, this is where the movie gets kind of interesting for a little bit. Because they're talking about like, oh, yeah, like all the dudes that like there was the doctor from the base got called into a village to go check out, you know, someone was ill and he went to go check out what was going on. And the dude fucking got bit or
he
whatever
was there
happened.
To like perform the autopsy or something and it was a zombie. It was the first one tied up and it bites him and he goes back to the hospital and
turns and they started putting all the infected dudes like into a jail cell. And then at some point either the zombies lit themselves on fire
or they burned them down.
One of the guys did, but it's actually kind of a cool, like Brad Pitt's just walking in a room full of ash.
That's a good image. And like, if you had actually used it to get some dread going, maybe it'd be something, but no, of course not.
How about the dread in the form of, isn't North Korea scary?
Dude, this is where
this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard my life.
Yeah.
And we get told it through a tap dancing David Morse.
Yeah. Oh,
I've never seen him play this cartoonish.
As an ex-CIA agent who's now imprisoned there at this base because he was selling arms to North Korea.
Correct. Sure.
And he does this whole thing. Yeah, North Korea, they don't have any cases because overnight, 24 hours, they ripped out all the teeth of 23 million people. How does that function that fast?
You have to have at least, that means if you're doing 23 million fucking teeth pulls, you have to have at least, to do in 24 hours, 20 million of those 23 million people have to be dentists.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's just such a stupid thing to
say. I think Kim Jong-un was watching the Rudolph Christmas special, and then he watched the Abominable Snowman get his teeth ripped out, and he's like, say.
Ooh. Oh, the Abominable Snowman. Oh. What's his face had the right idea? Yukon Cornelius had the right idea.
I also just love the idea. It's like, yeah, they're zombies, but they have no teeth, so that. It just really hurts.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he's doing...
It's like getting bit by a snapping turtle.
He's like doing Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. He's like, if I only had men who could do something like that.
And then he's the one that tells Brad Pitt that Israel's fine because of the globalist conspiracy.
Dude, and because of the way David Morse is done up in this movie, when he says, of course Israel's fine, I was like, where's this movie going?
Yeah.
What kind of a character do we have here? And did you notice... David Morse himself has no teeth in this. This character has no teeth.
Oh, my God. Because
there's a couple parts where he's yelling at Brad Pitt, and his mouth opens, and you can see the top gum, and there's nothing there.
That tells you how fucking bad Mark Forster is at this shit. Like, even something like that gives that character so much more of, like, to actually focus and have him bring it, like, I'm not going to let anything happen to me.
Dude, or like, you have to give him the line where he specifies, like, and guess what's even crazier? I did it to myself.
Fucking, they give lines to fucking Tim Robbins in goddamn War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Like, that's the kind of...
Oh, right. I forgot he's crazy in that movie. Yeah.
This is a this is a character you see in these movies all the time, but you have to give them the stage.
Well, here's the thing. I understand. I mean, it's insane, and it's also not possible. Why North Korea would rip out the teeth of everyone out of me. Sure. It's just the stupidest image I ever thought of. Where do they put all those teeth out of curiosity?
Ooh. Oh, they're making furniture out of it and whatnot.
That'd be awesome.
A new palace. A new palace for Kim.
A fucking throne of teeth. That's kind of cool.
Here I sit on a throne of teeth above the river of blood.
Don't forget to whiten my throne this weekend. put a bunch of crest strips on
you
it.
You could have it all. My throne of teeth.
Empire teeth at that point. I mean, I was spread.
Can I tell you? I was letting Steve eat and I was watching his mouth and I was like, we could go empire teeth. And I saw your tongue go to make... And I was like, no, we're doing throne. Okay.
Throne of teeth.
That's what North Korea is known from now on. Well, the empire of teeth.
North Korea could just make a gun that's, you know, you could shoot teeth out of a Cronenberg gun.
Yeah, and it could barely go fucking 6 feet in front of it.
Get John Malkovich on the case, you know? He knows how to build guns.
I met Kim, an incredible man, a genius, ripped teeth out of 17 million people.
Is it ugly? It worked.
What does it matter? They don't have the problem. But like, what I was getting at before, it's just a staggering logistical thing to get over about the teeth. But then why would David Morse rip his teeth out? What does he care? Like, in
case he turns into a zombie.
But then that would just make him he'd be a zombie anyway, and then he'd be an ineffectual zombie at that. Like, it matters more that other people don't have teeth, not
right,
me.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, right. That doesn't make sense.
But
right.
This is the vaccine law. They can get vaccinated. I don't have to.
Well, I mean, so you think he's just trying to set a good example? All right, guys, I'll go first, and then everyone else does it.
Well, I mean, he just came from North Korea, presumably over the border, so maybe they did it to him, or... He drank the Kool-Aid and is all on board.
I mean, that's
the
whole no tooth movement.
Yeah.
Any of that shit is a great idea.
Yeah.
The movie just has to care to use any of that. You
know
what I mean?
You'd be asking that from a Mark Forster movie. Don't you fucking dare.
But that's what's so weird about the way that this movie plays is every single time you meet noticeable actors.
Yes.
They're either killed off or we leave and go to a different place in the movie. It's, yeah. And the people that he winds up getting sidled with, for the most part, like this Israeli actress that we're about to meet, like, she's a total nobody in the eyes of Hollywood. Sure. So, like, that's what is okay in this movie. But, like, no fucking way will his partner be David Morse going out and doing shit. Because I was like, okay, cool. So now this is where he meets James Badge Dale, Michael Weissman, and they become part of the team. Oh, you're just leaving?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Like, you could have freed David Morris. It's like, yeah, he's kind of crazy. Now we got this fucking Dirty Dozen energy with how Maggot was. And eventually, he's going to try to double-cross you, and you kill him, and it adds a layer on top of this.
All right, that's a crazy guy. You just look out. When you go to sleep, watch your teeth. Just look. Watch, he's going
to
try
to take you ever meet the Tooth Fairy? I wouldn't go to sleep if I were you.
Buddy.
I mean, why have Dirty Dozen energy, Eric, when you could have King of Kings energy and just have Jesus Brad Pitt the Jesus walking through the zombie untouched.
And where does Jesus belong? Israel.
Of course
we're going next.
That's where we're going next. It's like, all right, I'm going to go. And then all these people, because, you know, I guess that they're like, oh, wow, we'll refuel your plane. No problem. I'm James Badgedale. This is a mission I can get behind. Refuel your plane to go to Israel. So they go. They're all on bikes.
The bicycle thing is very funny because they're like, listen, we got to do this as quietly as possible, which is why I've procured the rustiest, jangliest, squeakiest bicycles possible.
It'd be funny if it's like the end of Fifth Element. It's just like he only has so many squirts of WD-40 left and he's very careful with it.
I just don't understand why that is preferable to just walking quietly.
Exactly.
You can only pedal so fast on a bicycle, like they're going to get you anyway. Also,
if you're trying to outrun them, sure.
Also, like, we literally just got here. I understand. Can we just, you mind if we just hang out the night, wait till morning? Maybe the rain will stop.
Let this guy take a fucking shit, man.
Maybe then part of the movie wouldn't look like a black smear on the camera.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Seeing them take off in the morning, I would have welcomed it.
Because, yeah, they're doing it at night. It's, I guess, supposed to be scary.
Urgency, I guess, as well. Like, I need to cure the world by tomorrow. I'm Brad Pitt.
I'm saving the world, don't you know? Isn't that interesting that I'm perfect?
I'm also not qualified for anything aside from fucking boloing some dude's balls in a fucking kitchen chair. But no, don't worry. I'll fix this one out.
Oh, man. And like, this is so dumb. He's riding along and they just cut to Muriel Enos laying in bed with the kids back on the battleship. And you see her be like, I think I'll call Gary. And like, you see her sort of like look at the phone. She doesn't pick it up or nothing, I don't think. But then like cuts back to fucking Jerry. And of course this fucking satellite phone starts ringing and all the fucking zombies come attack again.
Well, she's calling because they had a rough day at Battle Boat headquarters because they're on line for food. And the little girl, and you got, if you're Marilyn Enos, you got to be like, we're going to go out tonight, sweetheart. We're going to go get our food. You need to button it up. Because she's like, Mommy, this food's terrible. And this guy's like, you know what? It tastes so bad because there's too many fucking people on this boat.
Yep.
Yeah. I will shove a little girl off because I've lost my entire family and I don't need to hear this right now.
Little girl stew.
Totally.
That's right?
You know?
This is the best polenta you've ever had, okay? You just eat it up and shut up.
Like this one, you rotten little fucking shit.
You know what? You should. You took all the man's duct tape. Take an extra one. Just put it over the mouth before you leave the room. Every time.
Because I mean, like that's. I do think that there's a version. I mean, not the Matthew Fox version, maybe not, but like a version where we follow Muriel Enos's journey a little bit. Where
sure, at least,
like,
she doesn't have to suck dick for toilet paper.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like if she could do something other than suck dick for toilet paper. Yeah,
that's right. And the thing that's ass is like,
oh no, they sent her to North Korea. Now they're gonna get her teeth. No,
I'm here for my wife's teeth. I'll take it out of your throne, Kim Jong-un.
Where are your teeth files? Tell me.
I mean, the thing that's so unfortunate, and it's
why did they take all their teeth?
What is so unfortunate is that you have Marielle Enos in this movie, and she's fucking great.
Sure.
If you've ever seen her on the show, The Killing the AMC Show, really she good. Is fucking awesome.
Wouldn't it be easier just to break everyone's legs or like force everyone to stay at home?
Yeah.
Because that's just two bones to break, not... I don't know how many teeth people have.
Oh, yeah. But zombies in wheelchairs? Like that'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, wheelies. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But you're right. I mean, she's good, and she's got nothing to do in this movie. Like, she's got, like, four scenes, and most is like, is Jerry okay? I hope. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to call Jerry.
It's like, how many ways can I dial a phone and make it interesting? I mean, really, it's so awful.
And like, Jerry's like, well, I don't want to, I might be napping in the middle of, I don't want to miss this call. So I'm going to put my ringer up to extra loud real quick.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing, Jer. I mean, you're riding bikes to be all quiet and shit. Turn that off.
If you're going
to
turn it off during a movie, turn it off during the zombie invasion. Don't worry. How about that stuff?
Some of the actors we just met can now just be eliminated from the film.
Right? It's great. The most interesting
James
ones.
Badgedale, yes. Who gets bit by a zombie and commits suicide immediately. And it's fucking hilarious because there's like a sniper that on the roof. And this dude's just like, give me the word, Sarge. I got you in my sights. And he's just like, that's okay, boys. this one's on me, gun to hand.
It's great. I mean, like, it's stupid, but also, like, the way that this movie tries to differentiate, like, ooh, these zombies, they function on sound. Like, oh, like all fucking zombies? Like, they try and really, make, like, you can't make a noise. They're so sensitive to noise.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Well, it's like a lot of predators in movies. All right.
Well, original. Because you would think they're like the part of the whole prestige thing is that they're going to give you like more like whether you want it or not, yeah. They're going to give you more detail about how like the zombies work and like what actually. And I'm like, none of that. You don't even get that. Like, even Romero had more interesting things about, like, how zombies operate.
Sure, of course.
This is just fucking, who gives a shit? Just get Brad Pitt on the camera again.
My favorite line before someone sacrifices themselves comes right after the James Badgedale suicide, where, like, they're refueled, they're ready to go, and then the pilot's like, oh, man, the fucking hose is still stuck on the plane. And this fucking guy who's, like, we meet him briefly when they're first flying out. He's like lead SEAL guy.
Yeah, that's right.
And he just turns around and he goes, all right, this Israel idea better pay off. And he runs out to unplug the thing and gets killed immediately. Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Now I'm killing myself out here.
I'd love it if they finally get to Israel and just like, no one has teeth. Welcome to Israel. I was like, oh, fuck. I flew all the way for the teeth thing again.
Yeah, we got the facts from North Korea. It's going pretty good.
Oh, so that's why Gal Gadot talks like that.
Oh, Brad Pitt, give me the stone.
No, you do. Did you use to everybody in the IDF?
No, I won't go on a date with you, Shazam.
But instead,
I'm going to pay Cleopatra.
Enough champagne to fill my vial.
Yeah, they are prematurely popping that champagne to fill the Nile because it's just a stupid fucking wall.
It's a huge wall. And like the funny thing is they're like, oh, you know, how did you know to build the wall so early? And I feel like they were just like, oh, we were just doing it for the Palestinians.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
just worked out. We had this whole thing where we lock all the Palestinians out, but it just...
So we took our idea of Palestinian apartheid and just switched out Palestinians and put zombies in.
Oh, yeah. Even better.
We put plus. That's
right. I'm surprised you haven't heard. We love walls. We fucking love that shit. We've been doing that forever.
Now we got one that wails out back if you want to see it.
And they're just like, everything's great here. Don't worry. We just, you know, the government stepped in and did the right thing, as always.
The whole line of like they, oh, well, they have a secret government program where I'm the guy that says everyone else is full of shit.
The 10th man protocol.
And it's like, so they just listen to the 10th man immediately, I guess?
Well, it's like, oh, yeah, you're right, because that line of thinking doesn't make any sense. Like,
no.
When 9 people look at something and the 10th one says, that's bullshit, then we go and do what the 10th person says. So, like, should
the 10th man has to work from the assumption that the 9 other people who all agree on one another are wrong.
Well, so I guess their entire system of government is based on the wrong thing to do. Yes.
It's a Costanza. Like, just do the opposite.
You're right. That's why they said apartheid. Let's try that. And, you know, the idea of a wall is just dumb to begin with. Like, make it a dome. Put yourself under a dome or something.
Stephen King show had the right idea.
Yes, yes. And the Iron Dome as well.
But Brad Pitt's like, wow, that's really interesting. This is a fun diversion. We do meet Segun, who is this... the Israeli soldiers number 2 for most of the rest of the movie.
He has to seek out this dude Jürgen, by the way. This is the guy that's like telling him about the 10th man protocol and yada yada.
Yes.
But I mean, it doesn't fucking matter, and he's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know how else we can really help you, Brad Pitt, because like,
should have built the wall 3 weeks ago, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the deal, man. And he's like, oh, all right. And then like,
oh, the best part is they're letting people in. Yeah. And they're like, you're letting people in? That's very un-Israel of you. And he's like, well, he's like, well, that's one less zombie we have to kill. Think about it that way.
Exactly. And so, like, because it is, like, such a fucking, you know, oasis-type place at this point, people are, like, singing and playing music, and someone,
takes a microphone and puts it to the little boombox speaker, and the music starts attracting these zombies. And, you know, zombies proven what a lot of us know already. Walls don't work because you can go over them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all like act like a bunch of bugs or like fire ants at this
point.
Like
we're little ladders, people ladders.
Yes. Horde mentality.
And it was, because I had seen that part of this movie already. It was when whatever later in the series Walking Dead season opened with something almost exactly like
the Horde. I think it's called The Horde.
And I was just like, nope. It was that moment that I stopped watching the show, because I was like, you just ripped something from a zombie movie that I couldn't even be bothered to fucking finish. I'm not going to be bothered to finish this fucking show. And that was the end of it. Because, yes, another fucking fire ants is a great way to put it. Fire ant wall of zombies happens there. But, of course, so they climb over it in this movie and start fucking murking people left and right, of course. And then it's like this dude Jurgen is like, oh, all right, all of these soldiers here, your number one job is to get our best friend Jerry out of the country.
Don't worry about your wives or your children or protecting your actual homeland. This white guy was nice enough to come here and ask me four questions.
And that's it.
And we're going to get him a helicopter. We need to get Jerry out.
And he's from the UN, okay? And that means absolutely nothing anymore.
That's the thing. It's like, it's the end of the world. What is stopping one of these people who's like, protect this man at all costs, just taking the gun, shooting Jerry, and be like, what now?
Exactly.
What are you doing now?
Put me in jail, I guess. Like, it doesn't make any... And they're like, absolutely, I'm gonna die for. We're all gonna die for Jerry tonight.
And so many of these soldiers do lose their lives for Jerry.
He's got to get back to the UN with his lack of knowledge.
And by the way, he has a wife, two baby daughters.
Oh my God, a sweet baby daughters,
and an adopted son,
and an adopted son. And I, as a soldier in the Israeli army, have no family whatsoever.
They have asthma, by the way.
Oh my God,
all of them.
I'm willing to take a bullet for Jerry for his asthmatic daughter.
While Brad Pitt is running around here, there's two instances where he starts Sherlocking, because he sees at separate points an old man and then a little boy. Both instances the zombies totally bypass these people, and he's just kind of like,
The little boy's got is bald, right? Because there's, I guess, cancer.
He just starts shaving his head in the little spoon. He's like, I got it.
No, this dude, though, this Brad Pitt character, the cure to get these zombies off my back is to shave this beautiful head of hair? I'd rather die. Take me now, zombie. You'll never get this haircut.
There's got to be another way.
No zombie eat me. Me sick. Ooh, he card read good.
By the way, we do know he is in action mode now, because he does have the scarf finally.
Oh, yeah.
He puts it on during the South Korea expedition.
It's a tactical scarf, Chris.
Of course. It scares them off.
So we head to the airport, and I guess his plane was already stolen or not.
No, it leaves without him. They take off, and he's like,
that's funny.
And then they see this Belarus Airlines is like trying to take off.
But first, Sagan gets bit on the hand.
Yes.
Sagan, who's like, this female Israeli sergeant that's like following him, and she gets bit, and like he cuts her hand off immediately, and she's like, the fuck?
And he starts counting, you know, and then he's like, okay, it's past the 12 seconds or whatever. Like, you're not going to turn. Later in the movie, I mean, a few minutes from now, it doesn't matter. She's just like, how did you know that would work? And he's like, I didn't. And she kind of takes this as like an insult or whatever. But it's like, hey, lady,
you got to try it.
If you didn't do it, you're dead. You were dead anyway. So if it didn't work, you'd be in the same exact position.
Look, I don't want you to get, unnerved or anything. But one day I'll tell you about how many years I spent chopping off hands. I was quite good at it.
You're right, Chris. That is
it's not my first hand rodeo. Dude,
it is way too quick of a reaction.
And right like butter. He knows the exact speed you need. Uh-huh.
Yep, totally. He's not getting stuck in that pesky wrist bone.
Nope.
I used to autopsies. I used to do autopsies. That's what I did.
Called me the butcher. I'm sorry.
And it's because this is like so shittily and cowardly cut to a PG-13 rating.
Yes.
It's basically like you see him. It's like Here's what it's like. It's like when the two nerds in Can't Hardly Wait are doing lightsaber Luke and Darth Vader battle, and then it's like, you cut my hand off, and it's just kind of like, unk, and then the kid drops the flashlight. That may as well be this.
Yes.
Because it's just kind of like clunk, and she goes, owie, 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 blah, 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 blah. And like, that's it. There's nothing. There's no blood. It's such, it's such a bad idea.
But he ties it off, and now they're both going on Belarus Airlines. It's kind of, I kind of want him when he calls his wife. She's like, "Sir, yeah, I just met this really great girl. I cut her hand. So you had to cut her hand off, huh? Okay. Oh, no, I know what that's like.
Oh, I remember when you said that I was the only girl whose hand you'd want to cut off. Where, I get it.
Where did you two meet? Oh, in the middle of a zombie attack. That's interesting. That's interesting. You work together now? Okay.
No, no one else? No men? You could cut their hands off? No, just her hand. Okay.
Oh, but all right. So you were the one who had to cut her hand off. There's no one else around that could do it?
Do a video? Oh, yeah. She's pretty. She's very pretty. She's very pretty. Yeah, very pretty.
Her boyfriend was eaten. That's convenient.
Sounds like, sounds like you're having a great time over there.
I really hope her pussy wasn't eaten.
Hangs up.
You know what? North Korea is a blowjob paradise.
A whole nation of gumming.
Oh, totally, dude. That's a fucking complete suctuary up there, dude.
They're just 69 and every night, man. It's everyone's having a great time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, great. Now they're releasing all the footage from North Korea. Shit.
It's like, dude, you go down to Florida, the fucking villages down there, dude, all them old fogies are gumming each other and whatnot.
They absolutely are. And it's ruled like North Korea,
too. Oh, yeah. Let's get it started. Put on Megan Thee Stallion's wet ass pussy and let's get going, girls.
Yes, I have decided to ban all trans literature and to rip the teeth out of everyone in Florida.
Fuck you, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, this is the debut of the Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, it's nice. No problem. And that guy sounds ridiculous.
It really is funny. I never heard what he sounded like until recently.
By the way, do you have some pudding? It sustains me, much like Dracula with blood. I need pudding to keep going.
Yeah, it's only when I eat it with my fingers, though.
I like it getting all in my mouth. I like being a sticky baby.
Big white boots. I'm a big sticky baby.
So they're in Belarus Airlines. Brad Pitt is on the airplane. They get on. Brad Pitt's like, I don't know if you know this, but I'm incredibly special. Like, oh, right this way, sir.
Oh, dude, yeah, because he's
a special passenger.
He calls Terry and he's like, hey, man, we're trying to get out of here. You know, we need to get to a fucking World Health Organization facility or whatever.
Closest to possible. Right?
And he's like, all right, hang on a second. And he's pounding on the cockpit door and the fucking pilot turns around. And he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I think you might want to talk to someone on the phone right now. And then it's like, you don't hear this conversation. And the dude gives the phone back like, all right, we're going to Wales.
No,
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, wow, for the UN? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me just, hold on, give me one second. We'll go fart into the phone really quickly.
Yeah, it's not the UN anymore. It's the UN.
Authority doesn't exist, you fucking maniac.
No, I'm the captain, which makes me the fucking czar of this plane. You can't tell me shit. But they're flying. He does some more medical stuff to Sagan to make sure that he cleans her bandage, and it's a very harrowing scene with, again, totally bloodless.
No. Right. Yep. But even though the plane landed in Israel, which was its destination, and then took off again immediately, someone on the plane has...
And somehow it's just stuck in the bathroom.
Stowaway.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It does not.
It's a stowaway.
Especially because it takes 12 seconds. It's not another zombie movie where it's like, oh, I'm a little sick, but I'm going to go. No, you have this stupid 12-second rule. So
right.
And then we ignore it for this scene to make another little action set piece. It's so funny, too. Of course, Jerry's immediately coach is gone. Only first class will survive.
Yeah.
Let's put
make
all
sure
these
they
bags.
Don't get out. Make sure they stay there and die.
And much like Jerry Seinfeld's like, you know, this curtain really doesn't work. There really should be a locking door.
You know, what is going on back there? You know, you're trying to relax on the flight. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. There's a zombie outbreak in the back of the
Another
plane.
Glass of champagne?
More everything!
Do you really mean that? Because here it comes.
Yeah. But yeah, their plan isn't great. We're going to use our shitty suitcases to make a barrier.
It's the best you got.
Yeah, I guess.
There are no ideas. Well,
I like this idea where Brad Pitt takes the grenade and chucks it to make a hole in the plane so that it Good sucks thinking. All the zombies out.
All of a sudden, it's just like, oh, fuck, what is the name of that Michelle Yeoh movie I just watched?
Oh, God, what's it called?
Oh, which one is that? Where they're on the plane, it's her and she befriends...
Is it Police Story 3?
Royal Warriors?
Maybe? I think might be Royal Warriors. Mm-hmm. The one where like she's a cop and she meets two other dude cops on a plane and they overtake like a terrorist attack or something that happens on the plane, including a dude shoots a window and she like... pushes the guy's like head through it, yeah, and his head freezes on the other side of it.
I love that scene.
It fucking rules.
It is Royal Warriors.
Royal Warriors is the one I'm thinking. Yeah. Anyway, just reminded me of it.
Yeah, anyway.
But so like, yeah, he grenades all these zombies out of a plane and probably some innocent people too.
Well, that's what I was wondering, dude, because like this whole huge hole.
Sorry, guys, I'm very special.
And it's like, I guess in this instance, maybe it's okay that the 12-second rule, because like, at least you're turning into a zombie before you hit the ground.
Yeah.
So there's that going for you.
And boy, it's lucky that it didn't just split the plane in half and just really got to the corner there.
Yep.
Just
a
little hole right there.
Yeah.
I want the co-pilot. What the fuck are you doing back here?
You know what, man? No one wanted you on this flight. You pushed this fucking phone in my face. Now we're going where some guy's telling me to go because of you. And you throw a grenade at somebody.
By the way, I'm about to die.
In Jerry's name. Jerry's so special.
We crash in Wales.
Yes.
Right. A walkable distance from the World
One of the odds.
From the World Health Organization.
Oh, meanwhile, it's important. Brad Pitt has a fucking a shard through his body.
Yeah. Due to the plane crash. Yes.
And Sagan is like, you know, now we're best friends. Oh, so she carried you all the way to WHO. So pretty cozy, it sounds like. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you were impaled with a piece of fuselage and she helped you walk.
She fingered your orifice there and nursed you back to health.
I know. It sounds great. It sounds like you have a real intimate relationship. And it sounds like you guys are getting along. And like, I love that that's how you work. And that's how you do these things.
Meanwhile, me and your daughters have been removed from the plane because you were too busy with your girlfriend there. That's what
happened. Yeah, and we're sucking dick for toilet paper.
You know that Tommy boy that's hanging out with us all the time? Yeah. I had to beg them not to throw him off the boat. I had to beg them.
The funny thing too, so Brad Pitt like wakes up all dazed and whatnot after the plane crashes and he like hears a zombie noise. He's like, fuck, God, all right, where's this one? And he looks and it's a lady zombie who's still buckled into the seat and she can't get out. And she just sits there the whole time. That's kind
of
great.
Again, one of those things where you're like, is this the beginning of like a sequence or a set piece?
Yes.
And it's just like, how about not?
No.
How about we just keep on going? Yep. How about we don't care about that at all?
Yep.
But it's okay because we're getting towards the end.
We're getting
God.
To Peter Capaldi, which is what everybody wants.
It's just ridiculous that you have so many scenes that add up to nothing and you stitch them all together and this is a 2-hour garbage movie.
It's nothing because once we do get to the WHO, Brad Pitt passes out and then he wakes up.
Three days later.
There's a great scene where Terry it goes up to Karen, Marilyn, and is like, so listen.
And dude. Once again, to my complaint that she's fucking awesome.
Sure.
You don't give her any kind of reactions.
Exactly. She's just on a boat in 3 seconds because it's bad news. Your husband's pretty much dead and sorry about that. But maybe worse news, you're going to a refugee camp.
That is the funniest thing is like, well, the dude who was your fucking meal ticket to this boat is dead. So get the hell out of here. Yeah.
Look, Eric Prince is waiting for a place to sleep. He doesn't know where he's going to get his next meal. So if you guys aren't being used anymore, he'll help us.
Yeah, you were a plus one and the invitee is no longer here.
We're moving all the plus ones to Nova Scotia.
Canada's plus one capital of the nation, Nova Scotia.
Even in this like incredibly Brad Pitt-centric movie, she could do something like, well, Jerry isn't dead because Jerry's the best. Yeah, yeah. I guarantee you, Jerry's going to call you and he's going to solve this whole darn thing.
She says nothing. She says nothing. She puts up no fight. They get on this helicopter and they're
out of the movie. They're out of the movie. They're gone. You never see the refugee camp at all.
Well, at the very end, right? For a split second.
Yes, very, very, very end.
So he wakes up and Peter Capaldi is giving him the business. Peter Capaldi is a doctor inside the WHO. Make your own joke there.
They were. They were because the production had advance notice that he'd been cast as the doctor. So isn't that fucking funny for nobody?
It's very funny.
It's so fucking funny. Oh,
that is really funny.
Oh, my God. That's fucking funny.
I am the doctor. Hello. Hi. No, it's weird because, like, this is he was not the biggest deal yet. So he's playing the number two.
Yes.
Which
some other
is
guy.
So weird. Like, yes. It's Peter fucking Capaldi. He's going to steal the show.
Who's the other guy with the beard? Like, no, I don't
know.
Oh,
he's an Italian actor who's in a bunch of things.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote down something later in my notes.
He's maybe like I'll the boss. It. And, like, that's the thing. Brad Pitt's such a genius. He's like, why do you keep looking at him? And he's like, because he's your boss and I'm a genius.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What does he say? It's like, it's even cooler than that, Steve. He's like, because he's the one in charge.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know if you know this, but I'm oh my God, we have Jerry. I had no idea Jerry was going to be here. Oh, it's an honor, Jerry.
Oh, prepare Ruth Negga now. She's going to lose her shit when she finds out Jerry's in the house.
She comes in, Ruth Negga's got a fucking Brad Pitt t-shirt on. Says Jerry.
Oh my God, it's Jerry. So it's the Jerry.
Jerry comes up with the idea that we need diseases in order to, you know, to be immune from the zombies,
right?
To be
because predators don't want to eat diseased meat.
But the problem is, all of our great diseases are in the B wing, and the B wing is chock full of zombies. Could you believe it? Yeah, a couple of Zeke's down that hallway.
Oh yeah, the Zeke's. Dude. And like, it was at this point in the movie where I had had enough.
Yeah,
and I think what's kind of funny is the movie itself has enough because Brad Pitt has some kind of line that's basically like. And what happened to Z-Wing, or like whatever it is, you know? And it's like, it's the same thing as like, we're at the fucking Korean base.
Yes.
Oh, but the gas pump is way over here and we're getting on little bikes again.
Yep.
In the lab, they watched some footage about what happened to B-Wing. And in the lab of the World Health Organization, there is a guy with, I'm not kidding you, just like the basic COVID mask and nothing else handling the super zombie serum.
No problem.
None of those glove things that are in the box and that you go in and do the thing. No. Why don't you just lick it and see how it tastes?
But also, it's amazing when the sequence is like, yeah, you know, and like everyone's like, you're mad, Jerry. It's like, no, actually, I saw it like 2 to 3 times. Like, well, it's worth a try, so we're going to do it. And I guess we'll have to figure out who is going to have to like, take that disease and meet her. And they have this like this other zombie in another room in the A-wing or whatever, right?
Yes.
And like
she's wearing a lab coat, so it's like maybe a collar.
It's this movie loves to load Chekhov's gun and then put it in a box somewhere and lock the box.
There's several guns.
Don't want this going off in the movie.
Exactly. It's like, Chekhov's gun. We'll put that right here. I don't want that anyone that going off in the third act. My God,
you don't want that happening.
So it's this stupid sequence where it's like, oh, it's tense. We got to walk around all these zombies. And everyone's fine. Brad Pitt gets trapped into the disease room where he wanted to be anyway. The other two or three members of the party, the Israeli girl and the guy
Italian
in charge.
I looked him up. His name is Pier Francesco Favino, who's been in a ton of like Italian TV and movies, but played Christopher Columbus in that first Night of the Museum movie.
There you go.
So those two characters run back fine and close the door. That's when I was like, okay, clearly this is when that zombie's getting out of the cage.
Something's going to happen.
And gets all of them in the command center. Right. That would be pretty nice.
That's like a zombie movie that might happen because something needs... No, they go... it just takes a while. I mean? Like, they go really tippy... It's Brad Pitt, Sagan, and the other guy. They're like, we're going to go. And everyone's like, it's so dangerous, but you'll have to go. Okay. And
this is where it gets the most video gamey, too, because it's like, walk and get to the freezer with all the viruses without any of the zombies spotting you.
Yes.
I was amazed. This actually did come out, I think, the same year as Last of Us, the first Last of Us game.
Oh, really?
And I was like, because there is a... It's in the show too. There is one sequence that is literally just this.
You gotta walk quietly.
Walking quietly so nobody sees you in a lab. Like,
yeah. Oh, in a lab too? In a lab. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
but this sequence is so boring for
me. Yes, it is.
And I'm so tired of it by now. And just being quiet around them, like, shut the fuck up.
It doesn't get interesting until it's just him and the other one zombie outside the door. Yes. And even then, I'm just like, end this movie. I'm so over this.
Well,
so,
first of all, the Deus Ex Mountain Dew almost gets there.
They are almost done in by a can of Mountain Dew because he just like walks into this and kicks this can across the room. It's clanging and clinking.
Almost killed by Mountain Dew, saved by Pepsi. Look at that.
That's how it works.
Two flavors
of
America.
Same family of sodas, too.
That's true.
That's good.
Mountain Dew folk were like, hey, what the fuck? Hey, Pepsi, what the fuck?
You're right. I mean, it should have been like he kicks a fucking can of Diet Coke and a zombie does come out and kill somebody. And it's like, man, that Coke is dangerous.
Not drinking that.
Pepsi saves the day at the end of the movie.
It is just crazy, though, in a zombie movie. Like, that's the thing. Once we get to the hospital, it starts to act like a regular zombie movie where we're like,
yes,
in close quarters, there's all the zombies over there, we're safe over here. But of course we're not, because that's how zombie movies have to work.
Mm-hmm.
But they all survive.
One of them. And I've never seen anything like it.
And they kill like 2.5 zombies in this sequence.
Yep.
Because they're like, oh, here, you get the bat, you get the axe. All right. And I'm like, maybe something?
Dude.
Can I wake up from the couch? No, I shouldn't.
That axe does nothing but prop a door open. Are you kidding?
So fucking dull. So let's just get to the injection part.
They get separated. Like you said, Eric, Sagan and the other guy just get back safely. And they're like, oh my God, we left Brad Pitt. And he's stuck in this room that has all the diseases in it. And he grabs it. He writes a sign that says, tell my children I love them. Because there's a zombie waiting outside the door for him.
Well, yeah. Also, the guy, the Italian guy says there's like a whole, he takes a bunch of shit into this box of diseases.
Yes.
And he's like, well, I hope he doesn't like use half of those because those will just straight up fucking kill you.
He says something about like, if he took anything from the shelf on the left, there's nothing we can do for him.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, with the fucking trajectory of this movie, I'm sure it's something from the right.
They're all supposed to be lethal. What is I guess there's lethal diseases you can instantly cure. Because once he gets out of there, they just give him like the antidote injection.
Of whatever.
And I'm like, what?
Scarlet fever goes away pretty quick.
I need to know what he got.
They never tell you. And that's, you know, it's insane.
Again, would be an interesting, even that is a detail, something I can latch onto.
It's chronic diarrhea. Jerry's just been shitting in there for hours. The zombie lost interest.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe like, oh, yeah. Oh,
the human smell fecal matter.
Yeah, they don't like that. And then just like finally my dream just shit wherever.
Yes. And now we get to see shots of people all over the country like, covered in shit, putting their shit on themselves and walking around in public.
And then North Korea's like, you guys look ridiculous.
You should have pulled out your buttholes.
Anyway.
It tells you that the Italian guy definitely thought this was not going to work. Because you would think before you fucking send him out there, be like, look, there's this one shelf. Yes. And it is just going to fuck your shit up. Yes. Do not go near it.
Yep.
Just go in, do it.
Even more like moments in that room where it's just like, okay, move the camera up and down.
Yeah, to say yes or no.
Exactly.
That would be I thought that's what was going to happen.
But no, instead, he just walks out of there, opens the door, it's fine. And then he goes and gets a delicious fucking Pepsi, which after a hard day's work of saving the planet, well earned.
You prove that you have the solution to the thing that has been killed over half the world, seems like. And you're going back to the people who are going to facilitate this getting to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And before you do that, you have to stop. And drink a can of Pepsi.
Hey, it's an thirsty alpha move, dude. Sorry.
Oh, is it?
And then he kicks the open dispenser.
That's the thing.
It's a function.
It has a practical use because he has to move the zombies away from the door.
Yes.
So he's way down in another hallway. And yes, knocking all the cans on the floor distracts them. But the fact that before that happens, he's got to crack one and chug.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that, dude. That is embarrassing. Like, Brad Pitt, you should be embarrassed that you agreed to do that.
And I mean, it's just such a jack-off moment. It's like a, it's a perfect shot of him walking while all the zombies and like, oh my God.
I fucking did it.
He's so handsome and he's so heroic and he's drinking Pepsi like a hero would.
Yeah, all the famous here, Indiana Jones, yeah. Luke Skywalker, chugging Pepsi.
Now I want to see Kylie Jenner try to give a Pepsi to zombies.
It would remember go that commercial?
Oh, yeah. With the, yes, the Pepsi the to the soldiers.
I'd like to give the world. Oh, that was a Coke song. Anyway, right. It was still funny.
It worked.
So, yeah, he fucking gets out, and they're like, oh, my God, he's done it. Oh, my God.
I knew it. I knew once Jerry was here, we were safe. Thank you, Jerry.
Ruth Mega pulls her shirt, opens the T-shirt.
Edward, who abdicated the throne, was saying, too. he was sympathetic to the Nazis. So they nicknamed them Jerry. The Brits called them Jerrys.
That's right. Anyway.
And then get ready for some convenient montage. And it's like, oh, yes, don't worry, that all worked out. But it didn't. It's very pointed to be like, it didn't solve the problem, but just camouflaged it. It's
like, we say camouflage like four times in this third act. Couldn't even believe it.
But it's just so crazy that like there's and they keep showing the stuff, which I assume is from this other cut. Like these war scenes, I'm like, hey, that looked pretty sharp. That looks pretty interesting.
And here's the thing: they do such a bad job at making that crystal clear. Film scene footage look like news footage that when you're watching, because of course we got to splice in news footage of like unrest. So it looks like war torn, whatever. But then we're literally just cutting to scenes from movies.
Yes.
And you can tell so hard.
And like, this is all being intercut with him just getting back to Marielle, you know,
gets to Nova Scotia. No problemo there.
Yep. No one's even got a fucking bandage. At least like one of his kids should just have one eye. And it's like, oh, that's.
Oh, yeah. What was the story there?
Oh, you know what I mean?
It looks like an REI commercial.
It
like,
does.
It just has like a winter wetwear.
It's really very clean and brand new.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I'm going to drink this Pepsi and shop at Patagonia. Anyway, that's the end of the movie.
It is, because he's just like, terrible. And we just did it. That's. But the war is just beginning. Don't worry. You're not going to believe this.
World War ZZ.
Do you know who was supposed to direct World War Z2?
Fincher. Yeah.
Fincher. Fincher was on board for like 3 months.
You don't start lower and go up. Start up and go lower.
No, I should tell you where Fincher was at the time. He was like looking for work because nobody is like, A, we're not paying you as much as you want.
Yeah.
A. And B, like, we're not going to give you the kind of control you want. Like, it's just not going to happen.
What was this betwixt with him? Like, Social Network obviously was already
Social Network
out.
Was good. Remember, Girl Dragon Tattoo, I mean, I love that movie, but it did not do the numbers tanked. It was supposed
to do.
That
was like, 2011 or something?
I still haven't even seen it.
And then there was...
Crummy.
I forget what the one is between that and... Oh, Gone Girl.
Right.
Gone Girl.
And Gone Girl, again, was good just movie. Like... I love that movie, but like Girl with Dragon Tattoo, it was supposed to be a breakout insane hit, and it was just a hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of the movie. A real, you're not going to believe this. The war is still going. This is me on my zombie outpost signing off for now or whatever the fuck.
Right. I think the war has just begun or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We've only just begun to do stupid World War Z movies. Believe. That's the fucking end of it, thankfully. Yeah. Just about 2 hours. That was a real pain. Final thoughts and recommendations, Eric Siska.
My final thought is no. No, I didn't like it in 2013. My God, yes. 2013. And I didn't like it now. It's just tedious. I mean, I see what they're trying to do with having like a globe-trotting adventure during all this, but I do not think it's pulled off. So it's a not recommend for me across the board.
Chris Cabin.
Oh, yeah. A terrible movie. And like to what Eric was talking about, it would be great if something like that had a globetrotting like zombie where you have to deal with the whole world dealing with it. But then Jerry has to be a character. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't just be daddy who also knows a World Health Organization shit.
Yes.
Like that. It has to be more than that. He has to have some interiority. And I find this movie abhorrent. Like the way that it like tries to do like the clean prestige. Like, I think that's why I get really itchy whenever someone's like elevated horror and shit like that. Yep. I'm like, this is kind of what they're thinking about.
Sure.
And I do not want any more of this. Nope. Stop this now. Nope. And it hasn't gone any further. So thank God.
Yeah, I'll just say, still off zombies, would not recommend this. Total fucking travesty of a movie. Real embarrassment for everyone involved. They should be totally ashamed of themselves. What a failure. Steve, say that.
Yeah, I would. It's going to take a lot for me to go back to zombies. Mm-hmm. And Last of Us, I gave it a shot, and I get that the mushrooms are different. Listen, I only watched two episodes. And people who enjoy that show should enjoy that show. But for me, I just know the beats. I know that there's going to be the grocery store scene. I know that there's going to be the scene where we're like creeping around. Will the zombie ever hear us? Oh, no, it hurt us and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, like, I find all of those beats really boring at this point. It would take a real like reinvention or just which Danny Boyle did in the early aughts. And that's why this whole zombie boom happened. Good for him. He doesn't get a ton of credit for it. But like, I've seen it all, and this movie has nothing because it's not even a horror movie, and it's not even really exciting or even thought provoking. It doesn't even talk much about like what the end of the world could be, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? It just sort of doesn't even do that stuff. It doesn't want to do any of it, and then it just ends with Pepsi. So no, thank you.
But that is going to do it for this episode of We Hate Movies. We all got to go crack an ice cold Pepsi ourselves here. But feel free to head over to patreon.com/WeHateMovies for even more exclusive We Hate Movies content, including a banger We Love Movies episode on Jimmy Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. We got the singer from Jabba's Palace there.
Yes, yes. She was credited as Fat Dancer in the end credits of Return of the Jedi, and we're going to talk about her for about 20 minutes or so as a little bonus content for you folks.
An AD on Rugrats, Melrose 210 is coming up.
Yes, absolutely. And then, of course, The Nexus, our Star Trek recap show, is trucking along. We've been recapping the original series and The Next Generation, so get into it.
I got to tell you, because I just remembered that I believe that this month's Melrose 210, at least the 90210 portion, is real. There's a lot of Jim Walsh in this one, and the episode in question is called Mexican Standoff. Oh. You want to subscribe to hear Chris Cabin's really upset already.
I can't wait.
And I will say, at the time of this recording, we've yet to lay it down, but I do believe that by the time this episode airs, we will have put out a very special me and Steve recapping the third season of Star Trek Picard, which I think is one of the most fantastic bits of science fiction television in a long fucking time. So we'll be doing a very special one episode only, just sending off, making it so. That was the Picard recap show we did season one on. We didn't have time to do season two, so we're going to be talking season three in all its fucking glory. You can get that on the Patreon as well. But here on the main feed, the show continues next week. Steve, where are we going?
Oh, we're revving it up next week. We're globetrotting still. Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yes, indeedly do. There's a lot to talk about in that movie. And, of course, Fast X coming out, the conclusion to the saga.
The good news is we're going to be talking about the least consequential Fast movie of them all. The one where most of it just got thrown out.
The one without the guys. Yep. The one that doesn't have any of the
without
people.
Without any of the guys that you loved. I mean, you know, Han is there, of course. Yeah. But,
Lucas Black, if you're really into it.
Exactly. So all that, of course, we'll be talking about the Fast franchise, which always...
A sequel which is planned to serve as the 11th and final.
No.
Yes. So there's going to be a sequel to
1X.
Fast.
1X. You're going to get a 1X.
You know what? That's dumb. But anyways, next week, gang, we'll be talking about Tokyo Drift. Can't wait to see you there. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.